no more. Yeah. And come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
Everyone, good morning. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord here today.
Let praise be a weapon that conquers all enemies. the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high. Joy when my heart is heavy, all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God who never fails will not fail me.
Church, everybody, as the time for our kids, they can head to our Haven Kids Sunday School. Everybody else say, good seeing you, church, to three people.
have any apples today? Oh, no, I'm not a teacher. Sorry. My bad. I just wanted to shout out some praises because nobody gave me any, so I'm going to make some up. Miss Sarah, we're glad you're back. She had another battle with COVID, and she won. Thank you, Sarah. Wes is still in the hospital. Oh, I lied. Wes is home. That's good. Oh, that's right. We did get a text. He's home. Amen. Because he had a couple things going on, and we're glad he's home. Miss Sarah, I'm assuming, is home kicking butt with that knee. Yes, she's rocking it out. So we're just real excited about that because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when they're on the mend, we need to be praying for them and thinking about them and keeping them in our hearts. Lisa Bailey, she said no more pancakes, okay? She's good. It's all good. Karen, smile. Thank you. And we want to pray for Miss Marge. Her knees are bumming her out, so we do want to keep her in prayer. We also have some others to lift in prayer. Jenny and Judy for healing. Judy's really been fighting something for a while now and is seeing some doctors to figure it all out. So let's lift her and keep her in prayer. And Caden is going to have one more surgery on February 9th, and that's our young man that we've been praying for years, and we just want him to return to complete health. Eve and Bernie are both at Calvert having fun, playing cards, being wild. I'm going to go see them and calm them down a little. No, I'm bringing chocolate. That's bad. That's bad. And we have some concerns. Bob Allen, he was here last Sunday and lost his sister, and we put our prayers out to you and your family for your loss. We're sorry for your loss. Debbie C., and I don't know who Debbie C. is, but her cousin's granddaughter had a baby, and they had to do CPR, and that child had to go to AI. So we really want to keep that family lifted in our prayers and pray for baby Glena, Gina, and her mother, Sabrina. And I do have my glasses. What is wrong with me? Keith, how are you? Peace out, man? Okay. He's still got both fingers. We're all good. Steve Murray has asked for prayer. Some of his hours got cut at work, so we pray that that gets fixed and he gets those hours back. Virginia Caleb wants us to pray for Bob Day. He's home in hospice care after a massive stroke, so let's keep them in prayer. Kira, her grandmother, we believe she had a stroke and is in the hospital, so we want to keep Kira's grandmother lifted in prayer. And also Virginia asked for a family friend whose baby will be getting surgery, and I'm not sure if that's the same one, but let's keep those babies in prayer and keep them healthy. Holly Kipp, we're going to keep her dad in prayers, and she is on that weight loss journey, and we are right there with you, girlfriend. Just keep it up. It's all good, except for the chocolate, and I'm going to have to go to rehab for that. So, all right, let's pray. Let's put our hands down on our knees and give it to God. Whatever is on your heart, give it to God. Let him take it. Let him lift it. Let him give you that quiet and that peace that you need, because he will. He is there every day, every minute. We are never, ever alone in our life. And remember that. When you feel alone, talk to God. He is listening and he is there for you. So give it to God and give him your praises, because God is good. He is good to us every day. Now lift your hands to heaven and receive that goodness, those graces, those mercies, that love that he extends down to us and that we shout out and go through every day. And he also just reminded me, I forgot to shout out. So for those of you watching online, we're praying for you too. We're shouting out to you, and you know who you are. And we are glad to have you with this community and this family. And this family is busting out the seams. God is good to Haven Community Church. And we love to see the growth. I get to see all those new faces and happy faces. Front row full of young children that are going to come to God. It's amazing. And let's pray for those that are in need, those that are suffering from a loss, and those that are hurting. This is a season of hurt for a lot of people. Reach out to your neighbors. Take them some brownies. I've learned chocolate works. It just does. I don't know why. But be good to one another. Be kind to one another. Because that's what we're here for, to serve God and to love our neighbor. And be with Pastor Jack today as he brings us his spirit and gives us the holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our decisions are incredibly important. Whatever you do, commit it to the Lord.
Did you feel that? Something just happened that many of us take for granted. Another year is officially in the past. A chapter is closed. And now we look ahead to a new year. The mistakes, missteps, and missed opportunities of the past give way to hope, excitement, and joy for the new life God gives us, pursuing Christ with each new dawn. Through His grace, we get the chance to reset the clock, to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. We know His mercies are new every morning. So whatever we do this year, let's give it to God, seeking His will, trusting His plan to restart.
Whatever you do, commit it to the Lord. He will, watch this, establish your plans.
All right, how we doing? Better than the Chargers last night. Anybody watches football? So anyway, you guys, that was, I guess you don't like football. All right, so up here, if you're joining with us, welcome. If you got a regular bulletin, that's fine. We also have one here. You can take out your smartphone and have our bulletin digital, and you can keep it forever and pass it down forever, whatever you want. It's right there. And follow along and have that digitally, because a lot of us are digital. Just, you can do that with your smartphone, which makes us all dumber. Our smartphones, don't they? But anyway, so we want you to go ahead and have that. A couple things I want to touch on. You might have seen up there on, the 19th of February, we will be having Haven 301. We've had Haven 101, which was a membership thing, Haven 201, which was more like a lab with spiritual gift assessment and also personality assessment, because we believe God gives you spiritual gifts, but we also believe God gives you personality and to work with. And this one is going to be one like about the ministries that go on in church and areas that where you can connect. Now, if you didn't go to 101 or 201, that's fine. Come to 301. I saw one of the things that was on 301 is about Stephen ministry and if an interest in that. And so there's a lot of different aspects. So if you want to know what else is going on in the church, there's a couple things you can do up until the 19th. There's a QR code that's on the back of several, maybe in front of you, that will have our app, and it says a lot of things. But if you really want to talk about what the ministries do, and a lot of different things go on here and around the world, and so there's a great way for you to connect and find out. So mark that on your calendar to just stay after church, and we'll go ahead and have a time where you can find out about that Haven 301. Also, today, at the end of church, usually at the end of the message in our last worship song, we take an offering, and that's for everything else, and you guys are very good at giving that. Also, in addition to the offering today, we're going to take a special love offering for our assistance fund. And the leadership team a year ago, after many of you who were here for a while remember Danny Pilkington. He met you in the parking lot, and often with a joke and a smile and every different things. And Danny passed away a year ago in October. And so Danny was somebody who worked hard and knew what it was like at times to be in need, but yet he always gave out of his love for God. And so what we did is we named our assistance fund the Pilkington Assistance Fund. And 100% of that goes to help people in our community and even some that are a little bit outside, but that goes to help people and to help them go ahead and survive that need things. And Danny was big on that. He really cared about that. So we're excited about that. So if you want to continue to go ahead and give to that, something you can give regularly to. And again, 100% of that goes directly to helping people in our community. All right. So we wanted to honor him, and he's got a little logo with that smiling face up there. So anyway, we have that. So there's a lot of different things that are going on. But during the offering, if you want to go ahead, just and you can just designate that for the Pilkington Fund if you want. Or we will also have some baskets that are put up at the end of church at the doors. Okay. Everybody good? All right, so how you doing? You enjoying 2023 yet? Not much different than 22, is it? Ah, yeah, they called us. They lied to us again, didn't they? So again, I want to ask you a question.
Do you ever feel disappointed about where you are in life? Anyone? Do you ever wake up and think that by this age or by this time in life, you thought you'd be doing something more? Anybody think you'd be doing something different or that you'd be doing something more significant? Anybody there?
Yes.
All right. So maybe you thought these, and maybe you have these secret or not so secret goals that you'd like to accomplish, or I'd like to get to that. And a lot of times maybe you said that in 2022 at the beginning. This time last year you said, hey, by the end of the year I'm going to, and you didn't do it. Or maybe you said it by the end of 1982 and you still haven't accomplished it, but you're kind of thinking, wow, what in the world is going on here? And you go through this. Or maybe you said, I'd like to have this type of relationship, and that doesn't work out either. And then when you get there, sometimes you may accomplish it. Sometimes you may get what you said, hey, this year I want to do this and so. And when you get there and you have it, then you say, well, I still feel empty. Anybody ever been there that you chased after something, you wanted something so much, you get it and you go, that's it? That's all there is? And you just say, you just feel like at times there's something passing you by. Anybody been there? And so do you ever wonder, is this all there is? Is this it? Is there something more? Well, guess what? Here's a spoiler alert. Yes, there is. And today's message, we are doing this series called I Have Predecided. And today's is I Have Predecided to Remain Closer to God. And so I'm going to ask that you just pray with me real quick, that we'll just kind of get settled and ready to hear what God has for us. God, we thank you, and we pray that by your power and the truth of your word that you would just stir within us a desire to know you intimately, to serve you faithfully in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right. So again, we are in this series called I Have Predecided. We spent week one, which was on New Year's Day. We spent that first day just kind of a long intro, and we unpacked some others. And we're talking about the power of our decisions and how the direction of our life is determined by our decisions, that we make decisions, but our decisions make us. And I for years told my kids, life is a lot about choices. You make choices, you have results, and that's how it happens. So what we're doing in this is we're not waiting for the situation to happen. We're looking ahead and saying, if and when this happens, we're going to predecide to react this way. And so kind of like the theme, and it's also in your worship guide, your bulletin, is up here, and it tells us this. It says, when I am faced with blank, whatever the situation is, whatever that situation or circumstance may be, whenever I am faced with this, I have predecided to this, all right? So you're looking at some things, and you're saying, this is going to come about. And when it's going to come about, I'm going to react this way. Now, we're not just going to predecide that by power or by thought or by logic. We're going to look at that from how God wants us to respond to those things. And so we're not going to wait on this future moment to let emotions have us decide, because ultimately we are bad decision makers. And when we're in an emotional situation, we tend to make bad choices. When we are in an overload, remember I said we make about 35,000 different choices a day. And that means we have, probably about 70 or 80,000 choices that we could pick from. And so we're making these choices all the time. And sometimes we're so overloaded with choices that we don't make a choice at all. And we talked about how you've done that when you're clicking on the remote, right? When there were three channels, it was easy to find something. Now that there's 5,000, you can't find anything on. Or the radio. When you just had to tune to something and hope that it didn't go static, you could easily find something to listen to. Now that you can listen to anything, it's hard to decide what we want to listen to. And same thing with food and other kinds of things. So we're not waiting for that moment of those things to happen. We're going to decide by the wisdom of God, with God's help, that we're going to decide ahead of time. And we talked about six areas that we're going to predecide with, six areas that we talked about. The first thing that we talked about last week is consistency. And we said, I predecide to be consistent. So everybody say, I am consistent. All right. And then the one we won't cover, but we talked about, it said being ready, because we know that Satan is always seeking to attack us. And we're not going to cover in this series, but everybody say, I am ready. All right, there we go. Today we're going to talk about being devoted. And we're going to talk about that. Everybody say, I am devoted. Now, we're not going to talk about this particularly. One of the reasons is very generous church in many ways, but we're going to talk about it indirectly over the next 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to celebrate our 15th anniversary at Haven. We're going to have a normal service and some fun things in the service. We're not going to have a big ordeal afterwards, but we're just going to celebrate this milestone for the church. As many new churches, the average of new church survival is within the first 4 years, most new churches die. We've done three, almost four times that. So God wants us around for some reason, and so we're gonna celebrate how God's done that, and we're gonna celebrate that next week and show how the generosity of people and other things have really made that impact last year and the years previous. But more importantly, we're not gonna spend time looking back. We're gonna look forward to where God has called us. We're gonna press on to that goal ahead of us. Then the following week, we're gonna celebrate our connection with Haiti. And we wanted to update people because many people have been new to our church and new to Haven Church, and we want to update you and see how that God put us together. And even in the midst of very difficult circumstances where gangs are pretty much running the major cities down there, how Pastor Oog, through your generosity, your care, your giving, and our connection with them, and the other people connected to Haven Churches down there, are really doing some fantastic, amazing ministries and give you an opportunity to connect to that even further. So that's what we're going to do in the next 2 weeks. So we'll be covering generosity. Everybody say, I am generous. And then the last couple of weeks, we're going to talk about being faithful in a time where people are very wishy-washy. We want to be faithful. Say, I am faithful. And then, finisher, Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. And we want to be like Jesus, and so we want to be finishers. Anybody ever start something and not complete it? Okay, so we want to go ahead and be finishers. Everybody say, I'm a finisher. There you go. So that's kind of where we're going in this series. But today we're going to talk about devotion. And I heard this story about this wife. She was extremely devoted to her husband. And he had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months, and yet she stayed by his side every single day. Well, he kind of came to, and he saw her sitting there, and he, with all his strength, motioned for her to come over. She sat by him and held his hand, and he said, you know what? You've been by me through everything. You've been so devoted to me. You've been with me with the good times, and more importantly, you've been with me through the bad times. He said, when I got fired, you were there to support me. When I started a business and the business failed, you were there right by my side all the way through it. That time when I got shot, you stood by my side and were there with me through all the recovery. When we lost the house, you gave me support and never left my side. When my health started failing, you were still by my side. And even when I woke up from this coma, you were still there being devoted to me. And he said, you know what? And she said, what, dear? He said, I think you're pretty much bad luck. All right? Sometimes being devoted, people may not get the full thing. You don't like that one? I thought that one was good. No, all right. They're not all aces, but I'll take it, all right? So what we're going to do, we're going to look at being devoted to God. Many people aren't devoted to much anymore. And so we're going to predecide to be devoted, and we're going to do that with God's help. Everybody say, with God's help. I will be devoted in all that I do. All right, and that's what we're doing. We're not just talking about devoted to your workout regimen or your diet, but as followers of Jesus, we want to be fully devoted followers of Christ. And we can see this by Jesus, who said this in Matthew 6:33. Read this with me, if you will. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first. What are we seeking first? We're seeking first God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And then in doing that, this is one of those cool things that says it's like a when and then thing. When we seek God first, his kingdom, and his righteousness, when we do that, there's a condition to this. And what we see is when we seek God first, when we do that, that will have a fulfillment in our life. And when we do that, then all this other stuff will be added to as well. Often what we do is we seek all the other stuff, and then we want God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. We've got it backwards in many ways. We seek the all the stuff first rather than seeking God and having the all added to that afterwards. And that's why God does bring fulfillment completely in our lives when we seek him first and seek first. Everybody say, seek first. All right, and that's why we're going to say this, your first thing. I will seek first the one who matters most. I am devoted to Jesus. And that's what we're pre-deciding here today. We're looking at being pre-decided to seek Jesus, the one who matters most, because we are fully devoted to Jesus. And that's where we're going to be. So here, this lifts up a question. What does it mean to be fully devoted to Jesus? What does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? And I want to go to Acts chapter 2 for this, and I'm going to give you some context. The first century believers, after Jesus had died on the cross, appeared to them. He died on the cross, was raised from the dead, appeared to them, and then ascended into heaven. They all were together in one place, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, filled them with the Holy Spirit, with a mighty rushing wind, basically a huge tornado whipped through there in the Holy Spirit. In doing so, after that, they had tongues of fire, and a lot of different things happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So what did the first century Christians do in devoting themselves to the Lord? So if we want to look at what it means to be devoted to Jesus, let's go back to the original people who were devoted to Jesus. And what were they devoted to? And Acts 2:42 tells us this. It tells us this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. All right, so this is what it says. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. So here's what they did. They heard teaching about God, right? They heard words about God. They got gathered in church. They got teaching. They had small groups. They got together a little bit more to learn and grow in what Jesus had taught them and what the law and the prophets had said, but was fulfilled with Jesus. Then they spent time with each other. How many of you have some friends that you met in church? Anybody have people that you spend time with? If you don't, hey, introduce yourself across the thing. We have people that we meet and we learn and we grow with. They spent time together because they had commonality with each other. They had a commonality with Jesus Christ. Together, they grew closer and closer and closer. Then, they were devoted in this. And here's something else they did. They ate together. How many like to eat? Who likes to eat? If you don't raise your hand, something is wrong with you. Food is amazing, isn't it? Like, if you ever had something really, really good, what's your favorite food?
Pizza.
Pizza, yes, pizza's awesome. I could eat pizza, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks in between. I love pizza. Anybody else got anything else you like?
Steak.
What?
Steak.
Steak, a good steak. Anybody else?
Crab.
What?
Blue crab.
A blue crab, crab. Did somebody say scrapple? Yeah. Oh, man, scrapple. That's just like... Yeah, I'm making you hungry. Because you go to Haven Church, the restaurants in the area, they go up after Sunday church, right? Because food is good. I love it. So they not only heard about God, they went ahead and they spent time together, but they also ate good food. I love the story about Paul when he was preaching. It says he was getting ready to leave. If you think I preached long, it said Paul preached on and on and on, and people were falling asleep. One guy fell asleep in... So I don't feel so bad. If somebody fell asleep in the Apostle Paul's service, I don't feel so bad. But the guy was sitting in the window, and he fell out the window. Now, that would kind of stop your church service, right? No. Paul goes down, throws himself over, and says, Lord, raise him up, gives him something to eat, and then goes back to preaching all the night. That's dedication, you know what I mean? And so they spent time together, all connected to the Lord. And the last thing they did is they devoted themselves to prayer. They were completely devoted to each other, to the apostles' teaching, to food, thank you, Jesus, and to prayer. And it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many miracles, wonders, and signs that were performed by the apostles. So what were they devoted to? They were devoted to the things that had them come closer to God. The things that brought them closer to the Lord is what they sought first. They were first seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And then everything else was added to them as well. Even non-believers would look at them and say, whoa, these people are full of love and caring. They're coming together to meet the needs of so many people less fortunate than them. And they're doing so many miracles. These guys, they're just different. They're just different. And there's something about them. And the scripture says that their numbers increased every day, every day, every day, because they first sought God and his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, when we talk about being devoted, what do we mean? And here is the Greek word, proskartoros, rutus, I don't know, I'm not going to say it again, but anyway, I could say whatever and you guys would go with it, you wouldn't know. But the word for devoted, that's it. If you want to know some Greek, it's all Greek to me. It's right there. That is the word for devoted. And it means to join. It means to adhere to be ready, to give attention to be faithful, to be devoted, to spend much time together, and to be fully committed to. And as I was going through that, I was thinking, wow, being devoted actually means a lot of the things that, a lot of the topics we were talking about in this series about pre-deciding. So ultimately, it's about devotion here. It's a really cool word because it's so cool that I can't even say it in church, but it's really cool ultimately because it's a word that is in the imperfect text. And what that means is it means it's ongoing. It's a plurality. It's not just they devoted at one time. Like, for instance, if Ron said, hey, can you come help me move? And I'd say, okay, I'm going to devote myself to doing that. That doesn't mean every day I'm going to help Ron move stuff around this house. It just means that one time I'm doing it. And when we think about being devoted, we think about it as a point in time. For them, this word means that it's a continual devotion, one that keeps going on and on and on every day. And so it accurately could be translated that they were continually devoting themselves daily to something. Because these disciples had a single-minded, ongoing pursuit of Jesus. And we need to seek first the one who matters most, and we need to continue to seek his kingdom and his righteousness of the one who matters most. Now, I want you to think. I wonder if this verse that I read, that's also in your worship guide from Acts chapter 2, where it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. I wonder if that was written today for what is known as like the casual or the cultural Christian. That, you know, like the ones who just kind of believe in God, but you don't see it much in their life. If they have to take a thing where they check off their religion, they'll put Christian, you know, because like their grandmother and great-grandmother took them to vacation Bible school. You know what I mean? And that's what they put down. And so they'll do that. Or if they're posting, they'll put a meme on social media about Jesus next to the one where they're telling about how they hate everybody else. You know what I mean? Anybody ever seen that? And it's kind of there. Or they may go to church every now and then, and they have several Bible-related apps on their phone, and they may have, like, four Bibles, which is like the average of Americans, in their house. And morally, they try to really be a good person, and they say, verbally, I believe in God, and they say, I'm in the Lord's army, but really, I'm in secret ops because nobody knows. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like where we're talking about. What if that was written today, and let's think about it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 in the ECV, the egocentric Christian version of the Bible. And that's my version in case you haven't got it. There's not one there. People be looking, where is the egocentric? No. It's it. So let's say it for today, for this casual Christian. They devoted themselves to themselves and their own understanding and their own experiences and wants. They stayed to themselves and focused on online posts. They continually and passionately pursued a self-centered life of comfort and ease. A little bit different from the first century, am I correct? Now, please don't take me for being judgmental, because I don't mean to be rude and definitely don't mean to be holier than thou, because these are often really good people. They're people you like to be around, and they're normal everyday people with dreams and wishes. They want to be liked. They want to do good for the most part. They But they like comfort, and they want to be popular, or they want to be TikTok famous. It's just normal stuff. Like, they have goals that I want to finish school and have a job that I love. I want to marry a hottie and have a nice house and a well-behaved kids. One day I want to travel the world, enjoy retirement, and then when I die, I want to go to heaven. Right? Does that sound like the plan for many people there? And many listening right now may say, well, that's not me. Yeah, that's definitely not me. And truthfully, in many cases, it's not you. And hopefully it's not you. But when it comes down to really looking at devotion, we can all, no matter where we are, really devote ourselves to getting and remaining closer to God. And I've got an illustration that's here. It's also in your worship guide that I want to share with you. And it's just in case, and for perspective. So, you want me to show it to you? Oh, you got to do better now. You want to see it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. All right, here it is. A line. I can tell you are just so enthralled with my line. I'm going to do something else to it. Ready? Here, I'm going to divide this line right here into 160 parts. You like that? You guys are just mesmerized right now. I can tell. Why did I do this? Because this is a line made up of 160 little dashes, and each one of those, 168 of those, and what that represents is your week. There are 168 hours in each week, all right? And so have you ever wondered, you know, what do I do during a normal week? I'm going to help you out because I did the research, okay? So you don't even have to guess. But this is the average, and these have done several studies on this. And so the first third of this, which is 56 hours, is the average that people sleep during a week. Now, some of you say, I don't sleep that much, or some of you say, oh, my gosh, I think I slept for 160 of those hours. But whatever, we spend a third of our week sleeping, okay? Then we have another third, okay? So another 56 is spent primarily with work and or school, all right? So we have that. So we have two-thirds that we have to sleep and we have to work or go to school or something like that, all right? Retired people right now are saying, I don't have to go to work. I'm going to sleep more. So you may have tainted that one a little bit. But this is the average American. So here's what we have. So we have one-third sleeping, one-third working. And so that leaves us another 56 hours of kind of flexible time. And so what we learn is that 17 other hours, are given and dedicated, is the average person, to social media. 17 hours a week. Now, some of you say, you haven't seen my kids. I think they take the rest of the time doing that. But what have you? How many of you have a Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Telegram, etc.? How many have one? All right? How many are thankful you don't? Okay, there we go. So in many ways, we had those. So that is 17 hours a week is the average. So with 17 of those 56 hours gone to social media, 56 sleep, 56 work, that leaves us with 39 others that I'm going to say for other stuff. Okay, everybody say other stuff. Other stuff. That is taking your kids everywhere. To dance, piano lessons, sports, band practice, tutoring, taking them to meet friends, helping them with school, getting gas in the car, cleaning your car once every 6 years, if that's you. Going to the grocery store, getting groceries, bringing them home, cooking something, cleaning them up, paying your taxes, paying your bills, mowing the yard, working out, doing that yoga down dog thing or whatever that is, being with your friends, binge watching the next whatever series you have, stamp collecting, cross stitch, and other hobbies, riding in a car, watching sports games or going to them, and all this other stuff is in that 39 hours. And that leaves us one little hour left. So what is it that we do? What do we do with that 1 hour? Oh, that's right. We're Christians. And that 1 hour, the average, is what the average American gives to God. 1 hour. 1 hour devoted to God, and this is according to research. Now, if you invest, and some of you are saying, but that's not my week, trust me, I spend way too much time in this place, and do that, and I get that. This is, again, an average, so please hear that. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you invest 1 hour per week in anything, you probably are not truly devoted to it. You're probably not going to improve in that area either. Like, for instance, if you invest one of these 168 hours of the week in exercise and you eat whatever you want, you're probably not going to be at your peak health. Do you agree? All right. If you spend 1 hour a week in the same room with your spouse or significant other, out of 168 hours, you're probably not going to have the strongest relationship that there is. Am I correct? If you study for 1 hour per week, you're probably not going to graduate at the top of your class, and you may be lucky to graduate at all in that area. So what we're saying is, and you can fill this in for anything that you do. If you take 1 hour for it, you're not out of 168, you're not going to be as successful in it. If we are only partially devoted to God, there's no wonder why we fall short in so many areas of our lives. If we only spend a little time with God when it's easy, when it's convenient, when we don't have anything else, or when we just need something, no wonder we fall short in many areas. We fall into the same old bad practices and habits. We rarely share our faith. We're more concerned with what people think about us than what God thinks about us. And we find ourselves lukewarm, wondering, is there anything else in life? Why? Because in this scenario that was up there, we spend our time seeking first the all things rather than the one who matters most. So the question is, if we only give God what's left over, we have to ask ourselves, are we truly devoted to Him? If we want to live a life fully devoted to the things of Jesus, it's not going to happen by accident. Because other stuff takes over, as we can see in our lives. No one ever says, you know, I was just doing life and I was walking along, I was going with the flow, and I accidentally became a spiritual dynamo for the Lord. I mean, you know, I don't know what happened. I was walking along and then all of a sudden, whoa, I'm close to God. Walking along, wow, I know all my Bible. Wow, I can pray with the best of them. Wow, I have such a powerful ministry, and people are coming to the Lord just by me just walking down the road one day. And guess what? I'm not tempted by anything anymore. It's absolutely amazing. That ain't going to happen at all. If we want to be fully devoted to the Lord, it's not going to happen by accident. What do we have to do? We have to pre-decide that we're going to do the things. We have to pre-decide, I am going to be devoted to the Lord, the one who matters, in this ongoing, continual relationship. It's not a one-time decision. I think the church historically has been flawed that we tell people to get saved and that's what we need to do, but we make it a one-time decision. It's an every second of the day decision, something that we do. So how do we do that? How do we live this out? How do we go ahead and live this out? What does it mean to predecide to be devoted to Jesus and faithfully serve Him? So we're going to go to John 15. I'm going to show you this. And Jesus is talking about this parable. It's a famous parable. And He was probably near a vineyard. And I got a picture of a vineyard here, right there. He's either near a vineyard or the culture really understood what a vineyard was about. And he says this in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so apart from me, you can do nothing. So what I have for you is, Melinda, can you put that next slide up? I think it's shows the vine. Okay. So, anybody ever been to a vineyard or seen grapevines? They're kind of cool. All right. So what you have is you have this vine, and the vine is pretty amazing. The vine is has some really cool parts to it. There is a part that you see, right? It comes up and then it goes across, and there's a part you don't see that's underneath the ground, all right, just like that. So it's the life-giving part of the vineyard. Okay, it's the life-giving part there. Now, Jesus says, "I am the what? What is it? Vine. I am the vine." So Jesus is that life-giving source. There is a symbiotic relationship that exists here. And one of the cool things that I read about a vine is grapevines are what they call permanent plants. They're there. They stay. They're just rooted and they go. But what's really cool is Jesus says, "I am the what?
The vine.
And you are the
branches."
Now, what we see mostly when we look, we see fruit and branches and leaves, don't we? Like mostly, we see the vine maybe at the bottom, but we don't see it. Because what happens is often these branches come off, and other times they'll intertwine themselves around the vine. And what Jesus says is that I'm the vine. I'm that life-giving source. I'm the one that supplies that. And your job is to be what? The branch. You are the branch. Look at the person next to you and say, "What's up, branch?" Okay. So the key is, when you are a branch, your job is to do what? There you go. To produce fruit. You need to produce fruit. You have no other job but to produce fruit. You don't have to know where nutrients come from. You don't have to know where life comes from. You don't have to know about, you got this thing wrong with you and that thing wrong with you. Because if you do, Jesus later says, "My Father, God, is the gardener, and he prunes away anything that does not bear fruit." Why? Because if you are a branch that does not bear fruit, you are a useless branch. So you cut it off, and when you cut it off, what happens? New growth that will grow fruit. So your job is to be a branch that does what? Bears fruit. So what does it mean to be a branch? You need to be connected to the vine. A branch that is disconnected to the vine is no good. It's dead. It's useless. Why? Because its job is to bear fruit and produce fruit. So your job is to stay as connected to the vine, and my job too, as connected to the vine as you can, by pre-deciding to be devoted. Remember, it said to adhere to spend time with, to cling to. That's what that word means. And the reason why you're connected to them is not so that you feel good, so that you do good things, so that you can get to heaven. That's all the other things. But the main job that you're supposed to do when you seek the kingdom of God, when you're connected to the vine, is to produce spiritual fruit. And what is that? Here it is, according to Galatians. It is a list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what's the last one? Self-control. This is what we call the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we look at this, how many people out there in the world are displaying love? How many are displaying joy? How many are displaying complete peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control? Do we see that? Is that like something like, wow, this world is awesome. We're getting all these. And why? Because we're not being the proper branches, because we've gotten disconnected from the vine. And the only way that we grow is by getting close to the vine, to Jesus, by being devoted to him. And so for people who are displaying joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all that other good stuff, do you think your life is empty? Do you think you're wondering, is there any more to life? No, because you're living the highest calling of what God has called you to. And when you're a branch and you're connected to the vine, your life starts to be full of what matters, full of what lasts. There's a word that appears in John 15, 11 times. And we're going to play a game now. We're going to see how good you are, okay? And I want you to help. We're going to put a verse up in a second from John 15, chapter 4. And I want you to try to see if you can find the word. Now, if you can't find the word, we have a group that will pray with you afterwards because you really need help. Okay? Here we go. It is, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Anybody know what the word is?
Remain.
What was it?
Remain.
You guys are so good. Okay, that the group that we had for the prayer time, you're free to go. Now, the word remain comes from the Greek term meno. Everybody say meno. And it means to abide, to dwell, to live in. Isn't that interesting that remain is the same connotation as the word devoted? To remain, to stay connected, to abide in. And so this is not, when we talk about remaining, we're not talking about just in our 168 hours, a 1 hour add-on of God. It's a fully devoted, all connected to the one who matters most. And I will seek him first. I will be devoted to Jesus. Now I want to state the obvious here. The branch needs the vine. The branch needs the vine. Because if you don't stay connected, you're a dead limb. This was from a tree of mine that was our shade tree, and something got in it, and it died. And if you want to help cut a tree down, see me. And once it stopped having the life source, what died first? The branches. And then the trunk and everything else, because it got disconnected from the life source. And so what you have is, if you're not connected, then you're also just, you know, going to be more brittle and break easily, and you're not going to bear fruit. And those of us who aren't connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, then we just are a dying branch, a dead branch. And when life hits us, we break easier. Jesus is the what? The vine. And you and I are the branches. So our assignment is this. If you want to live a fully devoted life to Jesus, be the branch. Everybody say, be the branch.
Be the branch.
Say it again.
Be the branch.
Look at the person next to you. Be the branch.
Be the branch.
Look at your second choice and say, you're a branch too. All right? We have to pre-decide to stay devoted and connected and abide and remain in the vine, regardless of what happens. So I want to get practical in the last few minutes that we have here. How do we live this out? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the words that Jesus said. I'm going to first deal with the first and then briefly with the all things, because we're seeking him first. All right? So three things that we pre-decide that bring our game plan. All right, so here's our game plan. How to start a week. We pre-decide a time. We pre-decide a time. We're going to start with a time. Why do we do this? Because remember that chart of 168 hours? We've got 2/3 of it that's taken by stuff we have to do. And then we've got a lot, if we're social media people, we got 17 hours that's being sucked up from something else. And then we've got just a little bit more time in there for the other stuff. And so we're already losing at this battle. So what do we need to do? We need to pre-decide a time to spend with God, to remain in him. Now, for instance, if I want to spend time with Melissa, the family, friends, whatever else, life is one of those things that I'm not going to wait until everything happens all week and go, whoo, now it's time to spend time together. Because if you want to go out with friends or you want to do something, what do? You plan. You pre-decide. You pre-decide a time, don't you? You say, hey, what do you think on this date, 5 months from now, we're going to carve that out? And you carve that time out. And when those other things that you spend all the rest of your week coming with come at you, you say, I'm sorry, I've already made plans. You've planned and you've committed to set aside this time. And every day we need to pre-decide a time to spend together with God. Now, I don't know when your time will be. It might be before everyone gets up. It might be before you drink your coffee. It might be before you go to the gym. It may be after you're at the gym. It might be when everyone else is in bed. Whatever it is, predetermine that time. And when anything else comes, say, Sorry, I have plans. And in that time, what are you doing? You're intentionally seeking God through his word, spending a little bit of time connecting and reconnecting and being completely committed to him. Turn off your phones. Put everything else aside. Find something that you don't get distracted. And that's what's going to lead us to the next thing. So we pre-decide a time, but also when we go out with somebody, if we go meet them, we pre-decide a place. Pre-decide a time and a place. When you make plans, you pre-decide both those things, don't you? Hey, let's meet Friday at 5 o'clock at whatever. You have to do that. You don't just say, hey, Friday at 5 o'clock. Okay, what are we doing? We're going to get together. Where? We'll figure it out. That never works well, does it? Never works well. So we pre-decide a time and a place. And it doesn't always have to be the same place for you and God. Like, how many of you just go to the same place with your friends or your family? We're going to go to the same place, the same restaurant, the same activity, the same. You don't do that, do you? Because life has variety. And so sometimes we need variety in our life. So, for instance, some people may have a pretty regular place, though. Like for me, when I was fully focused on eating right and all that kind of stuff, I would have one cheat meal a week. And it was always like Friday or Saturday. And my kids, if you ask them right now, it was one cheat meal a week after eating brown rice and chicken and salads and, you know, protein pancakes and oatmeal and egg whites all week. I wanted to eat like a complete lunatic. And where I went, because pizza's my favorite, I went to Pizza Boy and Rising Sun, and I would sit, I'd have a pizza, I'd have a cheesesteak, I'd have fries, I'd have a couple other things on the menu. They had like this like little Italian pocket stromboli. I'd eat that too. I'm telling you, I look like a Viking eating. It was insane. And sometimes, one time I was waiting for my food, and I said, you know what, I haven't had a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's disgusting, but I'm going to get one. I walked across the parking lot, and on my way back, I'm eating a cheeseburger as I'm going to sit down and eat all that other stuff that I had. And afterwards, I'd wash all that stuff down with chocolate marshmallow ice cream with hard shell on it, and I would be absolutely fantastically miserable afterwards and start the whole week. That was my regular place to go to, okay, that I wanted to go ahead and celebrate that because I like the food and I like the atmosphere. That's my regular place. But I don't eat there all the time every day because sometimes you need a little variety and you need a little different. Same thing in your prayer life and your prayer place and your time with the Lord. Some of us may have a regular place. And if we don't have a regular place, then we may not be doing it right because there's that comfortable place that we have. Most of the time, some of you may have a prayer chair. It's your chair, and that's where you are. Some of you may kneel down by your bed. Some of you may stay in bed. Some of you may sit at your kitchen table. It might be in the back porch or a specific room, or maybe if you got little kids, it's in the bathroom, and you got a couple minutes, and you're locking the door until they're knocking on the door. Mom, are you in there? And then you see little fingers come through the door. You know, you got to find time where you can with the Lord. And besides, it is the throne room of God. Let's go, all right? We can have that. For me, it's changed over the years. My time now is my car in a parking lot somewhere. Because you realize how quiet it can be in your cars and nobody's around and you can shut out the world and you make sure your phone's off, make sure the radio's off, make sure all that's off, and it is the quietest thing. And guess what? Nature's all around me wherever I want to go. And it's awesome. It's just a great time where I can just sit up and do that. I love outside, and when I'm on vacation, I don't go sit in my car. You know what I do? If it's at the beach, there's a balcony, I'll sit out on the balcony. Or even better, if I spend a little bit of extra money and I'm beachfront, because I certainly don't want to cross the highway, but if I'm right near the beach, I'll go down early in the morning, sunrise, put my chair, and just sit at the beach with it. And just me, Jesus, and the seagulls, and the early fishermen, right? It's just a great, great time. I need that. That's my place. You may say, that sounds like torture. Okay, well, fine. Find your place. Whatever it is, you got to pre-decide to do that. That this is the time, this is the place. And the third thing is this. Pre-decide the plan. You also have to have a plan. You don't say, hey, Friday, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock at Pizza Boy. What's your plan? We're just going to stand there outside? No, you're going to go order. You're going to, and then you might do something afterwards. You have to have that plan. If something's important to you, you plan ahead. You rarely get up and exist in the moment. Well, what am I going to do today? No plan. I don't know. I'll just stand around until the wind blows. You don't do that. If you're having a baby, you don't wait till the birth to do all the other stuff. You don't wait till the birth to pick a name, do you? No, those arguments are done well before that time, right? And you match them all up to all the things that the kids can torture them with over the years, all right? So you go ahead and do that. You don't wait and say, oh my gosh, baby's here. Time to put that nursery together. No, you come up with all those things. And you don't wait to buy all the things until the baby's here. You have all that. Why? Because the baby matters to you, so you plan. Your time with God should matter to you. So find your time. Find your place and have a plan. How can you have plans? There's so many things for us now with apps and the YouVersion plan, the Glorify app, and so many choices. You can do the one-year Bible. You may have a journal where you write things down that what God is showing you and people that you pray for, and then you write down when the prayers were answered. That's a good thing. You might have a podcast that you listen to. But what we've done, we have a place, a time, and a plan. Why? Because we have 168 hours, right? We have 168 hours during a week. And I don't know about you, but something seems wrong with just giving God what's left over. Just giving him that leftover. And it's wrong because Jesus said, seek first him and his righteousness, and then all that other stuff is added as well. So we need to start by seeking the one who matters by a time, a place, and a plan each and every day of our lives. And then what starts to happen, we just start walking with Jesus. And our time with God then is not limited to 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 1 hour. It's daily, and it's devotion, and I'm remaining. I'm going through the work, and I'm going through the sleep, and I'm going through the other things, and I'm on the social media. But guess what? I'm still connected to the vine. So when I want to scream at somebody at work or destroy them, or whether I want to put what I'm so angry about on social media, I remember I'm still to the vine and I still need to bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. So my job is to bear fruit, so I'm still connected to divine and all those things in my life. And when I'm seeking Jesus, then weird things begin to happen. People say, man, you're really nice. I'm like, I am? Oh, you're really generous, and you got this joy, and you're kind, and you're gentle. Man, you got more self-control than I do. And I'm like, really? No, I don't. But when I'm connected to divine, I do, because I'm living out my branch calling just to bear fruit. Just to produce fruit. And what happens is God doesn't just get what's left over in a life because he's not just part of my life. Then what happens is God is your life. And when God is your life, he is the vine, he is the gardener, and Jesus is the vine, and you are the branches producing fruit. And this is what happens. And you walk throughout the whole day connected to the vine, talking to God, listening to God, aligning our hearts, and having that mindset. And God is your life. And it starts to impact your life in many ways. And winding this down, I started thinking about people in life. Because I'm thinking about 168 hours in a week. And then I started to think, well, how many are in a year? And then I started to think, well, how many are in my life? And then in my life, out of my life, am I seeking God first? The answer is no. But when my life is, if I'm somebody who actually has the opportunity that my life begins to wane away and through disease or whatever else, as I'm looking back at my life, what would I see? And I've talked about this person before, but in the first church I served, there was a lady named Layla. I thought of her, and she lived life and loved it, and she was the life of the party. She was a party animal. She loved life to the fullest. She was a tough lady, and then she, I didn't know her then during that phase of life, But during that phase of her life, she just was living it, you know, eat, drink, and be married, because tomorrow she may die. She just didn't care and was rolling. And I came to know her when she was diagnosed with cancer. And her sister, who was very close to me, asked if I'd come over and meet her sister, Layla. And so I said, sure, no problem, and I agreed. And I remember I walked into her sister's house, and I sat in a chair, and Layla's upstairs, and she comes down the stairs, and she just had this look on her face, like she was ready to kill the world. You know, she just came down, and she kind of barked something at her sister and sat down next to me, looked like kind of annoyed that I was there. I mean, not the first time that's happened, but not going to be the last. But she was just kind of annoyed, and so she tried to say several things that would shock and offend me, which I don't think is possible in my life. And she did that. And so from that point on, Layla and I agreed to get together. It was often Fridays, and we began to form a really great friendship. She battled cancer and hated it. I still can hear her, like she said, chemo. They try to make it sound cute, chemo. That's not cute, it's disgusting, and it's painful, and it's awful. And she just was that type of person. And so still today, when somebody has chemotherapy, I say, I'm not gonna say chemo, she'll come after me, you know what I mean? Because that's just how she was. She just was angry about that this was stealing her life, and she was fighting it, and she was so angry. And you know, we had this great friendship. She still would say things, and then she realized she could be her, and she wouldn't shock me. And we even got to celebrate at one point at her great niece's wedding. During that time, she was in remission, a short bit of remission, and we celebrated that. And she journeyed from being so angry about cancer to that she began to soften in her heart and began to start to connect to God. Years of being a branch that was just disconnected brought her back, and she went from being this angry person to being someone who gave her life to Jesus. I even baptized her in the home with family and friends around. And after a few months of remission, the cancer came back and was very aggressive. And I went to visit her, as I often had, and as I was leaving the house that day, the last couple times we met, it was not good. And I looked at Melissa as I left the house, and I said, today I got to go talk to Layla about her funeral and about dying. I just knew it. Personally, I didn't want to, because this is a friend that I loved, that I grew to love. I loved when she was even more trying to shock me, even when we were closer. I loved her dearly, and as I entered to this house, I walked in, and this tough, strong, life of the party lady was now weak and in pain and withering away because the cancer was taking her life. She was exhausted, and we told some stories. We laughed a little and cried a lot. And then the tone of the conversation turned serious. And she looked at me and she said, Jack, I haven't lived the best life. I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of, and I wasted a lot of time. I've hurt a lot of people I loved. And when I look back at my life, I think a lot about those things I wish I would have done. So we decided to talk about some of those things. We talked about some of the memories, talked about some of the regrets, talked about her newfound faith in Jesus. She started saying that she knew she was going to heaven because of her relationship, but she shared how she was just kind of agitated and upset that she didn't know more about heaven. She kept saying, what am I going to see? What am I going to expect? She was so concerned. All those other things that she spent her life doing, she didn't care about. Because at this point, she was seeking first him and his kingdom. She was so concerned. What am I going to see? And so I started to share with her my not limited knowledge from scripture and other things about what heaven, what she's going to see. And then I said, you know what? Layla, when you get there, you aren't going to care. You're just going to love it, and you're going to be the life of the party once again. We spoke about her funeral and what she wanted me to share. And as our conversation wound down, because I knew she was getting tired, we joined hands, we prayed, we joked a little more. I told her I loved her. She said she loved me, and I said goodbye to my friend and left. And that was the last time we talked on this earth. It's no secret to many of you who have been part of our church over the last 2 years. I've experienced a lot of loss. I have several people close to me devoted to the Lord. My mom in November 2020, 4 months later, my dad, 6 months later, one of the greatest friends I ever had, Danny. 6 months after that, a mentor and spiritual father in John Hobbs. And then this week, my last living spiritual father, Bill Sammons, who started Eagle's Nest down in Melton, passed away. And I am so happy for them. I could add to that Reverend Jim Jones from Rising Sun and others. There's several others. But in preparing for this message today, my mind went to Layla. And it went to these people who dedicated and devoted their lives to Jesus. And it brought me once again to that sense of urgency that I need to face. To just pause and look at my 168 hours and ask myself, what do I believe deep down in my heart? What really, really matters in life? What is it that will outlast me in my life? Where am I connected to the vine bearing fruit? Am I seeking all these other things and then God at the end? What is it that matters most? Because I want to devote my life to that. Don't you? I want to devote my life to something that lasts. And so the question simply is this. What do we do? We're going to pre-decide because of who he is and because he matters the most. He doesn't get what's last. He doesn't get the leftovers. He doesn't get what's easy. He doesn't get what's convenient. He gets my attention when there's nothing else going on. No, it's not that I go ahead and say, okay, there's no game this weekend and the weather's not that great, so we can go to church. No, it's I have a time. I'm going to pre-decide that time. I have a place that I've pre-decided, and I have a plan that I've pre-decided because Jesus matters. Because my job is to be a branch and to bear fruit. And if I'm not, I got to check how connected I am to the vine. I've got to pre-decide. And I'm going to tell you, before all that happens, you're going to say, I'm devoted to Jesus. Something's going to come in. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be distractions. You're going to give reasons to quit. But keep on going. Because when you're devoted to something, no excuse is going to keep you from it. When we are connected to the vine, there is love, there is joy that is unspeakable, there is peace that transcends any ounce of our understanding, there is patience, and Lord, boy, do we need some of that. And when you pray for it, God gives you opportunities for it. There is goodness. Don't you wish just people were just good to each other? There's faithfulness. Don't you wish the church was more faithful to God and each other? Don't you wish there was a spirit of gentleness in our world? And man, if I could have some more self-control. Jesus, because he is and because eternity is real and because time is short, has to be more than part of my life. He deserves and needs to be my life because he's the vine and I'm a branch. And my job is to what? Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. So I pre-decide to be devoted to Jesus, the one I love. Amen? All right. I ask that you just take some time and let's just stand and let's get ready for just praying with God. And if you're like me, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking a lot about my 168. And then I was thinking about my time and I was thinking about my place and thinking about all those things that I need to be connected to the vine. And so if you will, just bow your heads and close your eyes and just just kind of think about your life. Looking back and also looking ahead. Thank you. where have you been with the Lord? And so, Father, today we pray. We pray that there be some powerful and spiritual predecisions made in our lives. And help us not to commit to give you what's left over to make you the driving force, though, in our lives. And in our prayer at this time, you may be, or maybe watching online or in this room, and there may be those of you that say, yes, I'm a Christian, but when I look at my 168, there's probably some room for improvement. What I want is, with God's help, because we need God's help for all this, to predecide to be devoted to Jesus. And that means that I'm going to choose a time and a place and a plan, and I'm going to keep to it, and I'm going to start incorporating these things to stay connected to the vine. And as I connect to the vine, suddenly it's not going to just be a little bit of time in the morning or evening or on my commute, but it's going to become an ongoing pursuit of the one who matters most. So I'm going to just be growing fruit in areas that I never thought I would, because I'm connected to the vine. And wherever you are right now, just kind of say to God, God, help me be devoted to Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you that you hear the cries of our heart. Ask that you would draw us by your Spirit. And ahead of time, we thank you that you'll meet us when we cry out to you. So God, empower us to predecide, to be intentional, not to have an accidental or situational relationship with you, but to recognize that you are a relational God, and you want us to intentionally seek you. That's why you said, seek me first. And then God, align our hearts with what lasts, so that you won't be a part of a life, but you'll be all that we desire, and that you will be our life. Help us be devoted to you and recognize, and some of us may recognize, wow, you know, I'm not really that close. I thought I was, but I'm not. And so what do? We understand that God is, first thing we do is we understand that God is a relational God. He wants a relationship with you, and that being a follower of Jesus isn't just like joining a church or checking a box or joining a club. It's an ongoing relationship. Also understand that God is love. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to show you what the Father is like. That Jesus is love. He's perfect and he's sinless. And he hung out with people who were a mess. People who were very far from God. Some of them thought they were really close, but they were far from God. They were people who were broken and had really messed up lives. And he loved them unconditionally. He loved them so much he gave his life up for them. But more importantly, today, recognize that in your broken, your messed up lives, that he gave his life for you. And God raised him from the dead so that anyone, and that includes you, doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how dark your life feels, or where you've been, anyone who calls on his name, the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven and you'll be made brand new, you'll be saved, you'll be different. So all you have to do is just say, Jesus, I want to be a follower of you. I want to receive your forgiveness. And today I give you my life. I surrender to you. I want to seek first the one who matters most. And I want to hear the desires of your heart. So Heavenly Father, I want to seek you first. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, save me. Be the first in my life. I want to be your follower, completely devoted to you. You're not just going to be a part of my life. Jesus, I want you to be my life, because I'm a branch and my fruit has not been as good as it should be. I don't want to be pruned away. I want to remain in the vine and bear much fruit. Hey, help me stay connected to you so that I can have true life and fulfill what you've called me to do. We can always be more devoted and remain closer to the Lord. As we remain here today, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to answer all these prayers of people who just want to grow closer to you. I ask that you will just be with us, and as we seek your face and seek your kingdom, that everything else that we're so concerned about will be added as well. And now, Father, over the gifts that are given today, those that are given to continue the ministry here and around the world, I give you thanks and ask for your anointing on that.
for those who particularly earmark for the Pilkington and Sisters Fund in honor and memory of one of my best friends ever, my brother in Christ, who I know when I get there, Lord, we're going to have fun and heaven's going to get a lot more demented. I thank you for his life, that no matter what he went through, he stayed devoted and trusted in you. And so God, in his honor and memory, we give so that we can reach those who are struggling, so that they know that a God and the people in this world love him. Send your anointing upon all these things and upon every person who's here. If you're visiting with us today, we don't expect you to give. We want you to receive what God has for you. There's people that are available in the front and the back to pray with you. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus, the one who matters most. Amen.
Holy, 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 Lord. Blessed Trinity, Blessed Trinity.
All right, everybody, have a great week. Next week, we're going to take a break in the series. We're going to celebrate Haven's 15 years. Thank you all for being part of it. People have said to me before something, they'll say, your church, it's not mine, it's his, and it's yours. And so that's the thing I'm most excited about. Have a great week. Be safe out there, and stay in the vine. We need it. We need it. God bless.